Good morning. We're delighted to have all of you. If you're visiting, we are thrilled to have you as well. If I'm able to get this thought across, this can change your life. This can change your life. Let's bow our heads just for a moment of prayer. And now, Father, we ask, help us to remove all other thoughts and stresses and concerns from our mind. Lord, open our minds. Help us to be receptive to your word. And help us that we may be able to learn how and to know how to receive all the blessings that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am convinced, down to the very depths of my soul, that God has many blessings for his people, blessings for his people as individuals, and blessings for us collectively as a congregation, and I mean this, the Highland congregation. To the depths of my soul, I believe that God has blessings, but they are blessings that we are never gonna see. And they are blessings that we are going to miss. And the reason for that is because we do not know how to receive from God. Now, to be sure, there are many steps in the process of receiving. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the first step. The most fundamental step of all in receiving the blessings that God has for you and for us collectively. That initial step, or that first step, is to get thirsty. Here's what I mean. The first step to getting the blessings that God wants you to have is you have to want them. You say, but preacher, everybody understands that. Listen, we do not nearly understand that. Not nearly do we understand that. When I say we have to want them, when I say we have to get thirsty, what I mean is that there has to be a longing in us. There has to be a craving in us. There has to be something in us that sets us on fire from the inside to where we get to the point, listen, this is a blessing that God wants me to have. I know from the Bible, this is what God wants me to have, and then take up the attitude, I'm not gonna stop going after this until I receive it. You gotta get thirsty. You gotta get thirsty. And the reason that many of us do not receive the blessings that God has for us is that we're not thirsty for them. Listen, I'll do whatever it is God wants me to do to get it, but he wants me to have it, and I'm gonna get it. Now, we're going to take a look at two passages by way of introduction. Both of them were spoken by Jesus. And both of them in the passages, Jesus is declaring, this is what you have to do to receive from God. You understand? Two of them. Jesus is doing the speaking. Jesus is doing the teaching. And Jesus is saying, listen, this is what God has, but if you want the blessing, this is what you got to do to get it. The first one, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 and verse 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. I want you to look at the verse. I want you to look at this carefully. In this passage, there are three verbs. Ask, seek, and knock. A verb denotes an action that has to be taken. In this passage, Jesus says, here are three actions that we have to take in order to receive. Here are three actions we have to be part of, engage in, to receive. Now, wait a minute. The three action words here, the three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, those three words are in an imperative mode. What does that mean? That means that these three action words are commands. What Jesus says in the passage is, I command you to ask. I command you to seek. I command you to knock. But look at the three words again. These three actions are not only in an imperative mode in the verse, but these three verbs are also in a perfect tense. What does that mean? That means a continuous action. What Jesus literally says here is, I command you to ask and then keep asking and keep asking. I command you to seek and to keep seeking and to keep seeking. I command you to knock and to keep knocking and to keep knocking and to keep knocking. Note also, these three words rise in intensity. They rise in intensity. Here's what that means. Look at how the words, the order of them. To ask means to pray. To seek means prayer plus action. Look at the order. Knock. What does it mean? It's prayer plus action plus perseverance. How long do we knock? How long do we knock? We keep knocking and we keep knocking until the door is open. Look at the passage. Look at the passage. According to the passage, who is it that receives from God? According to the passage, the one who receives from God is the one who is thirsty enough to ask and to keep asking till they get the blessing. Who receives the blessing from God? It's the one who's thirsty enough to ask and to ask and to keep asking until the blessing is given. Who is it that receives from God? It's the one who knocks and knocks and keeps knocking until the door of blessing is open and it falls down, as it were, from heaven. Listen to me. The key, the first step to receiving what the blessings of God, the most fundamental step, is you gotta get thirsty. And until you do, you're going to get what you got. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you're going to keep on getting what you always got. Second passage. Turn back two pages. Matthew chapter 5. Two pages. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Look at the verse. The word hunger and the word thirst are very strong words. Those two words represent an intense craving. An intense craving. Listen to me. Hunger and thirst are two of the strongest drives that a human possesses. When a person is hungry, I mean really hungry. When a person is thirsty, I mean really thirsty. That hunger and that thirst will dominate their thinking. You understand? Look at the verse. Who is the blessed person according to Jesus in that verse? Who is the blessed person in that verse? Who did Jesus say is the blessed person? It's the one who longs for food like a hungry man. It's the one who thirsts for drink like a thirsty man. But he's hungering and he's thirsting to do what is right in the sight of God. And brethren, that is righteousness. You gotta want it. You gotta want it enough to get up and get after it. Getting thirsty is this. It's wanting what God has for you bad enough to do whatever God said you have to do in order to get it. That's it. That's not almost it. That's not about it. That's IT it. We have to get thirsty. We can't mealy-mouth with God. We have to, there has to be this, listen, this is a blessing that God has promised me. Then there has to be an intense desire. There has to be a fire within my bones, like Jeremiah, to say, I'm going to get this, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. You got to get thirsty. Two observations. Observation number one is that getting thirsty is the key. It's the key. This longing this craving, this burning inside my soul, it's the key. But now, it's the key to what? Number one, getting thirsty is the key to salvation. It's the key to salvation. Listen, brother. You cannot save a person who doesn't want to be saved. Look, you can talk to them. You can pray for them. You can beg them. You can plead with them. But until they're thirsty, they're not going to be saved. On the other hand, if a person desires to know the truth, if a person is thirsty to be delivered from their sins, if a person is thirsty to get out of the way they've been living, and if they're thirsty to respond to God, listen, that person will become a Christian. So here's what I want to say to you. If you sit here, and if there is just the slightest desire to come to Jesus, you need to take that little spark and you need to fan it and you need to fan it and you need to fan it until that spark becomes a blazing fire that leads you to the Lord. But I'm telling you, the key to salvation is you have to get thirsty. Salvation is what God wants for me, and that's what I'm going to do. Hang the world, but this is where I'm going. But until you get there, you're just going to keep sitting in that pew. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 26 and following, the Ethiopian eunuch has come from Africa to the city of Jerusalem to worship. We read that verse so easy. From Ethiopia to Jerusalem is like 800 to 1,000 miles in a chariot. Listen, here's a man who's thirsty. When you climb in a chariot and go that far, you're thirsty. So he gets to the city of Jerusalem. And because of his condition, that he is a eunuch, he can't actually go in the temple to worship. He has to stay in the outer part of the temple to worship. So now he's going home, that 800-mile trip back home. And Philip the evangelist catches up with him. And in verse 35 of Acts 8, Philip asks him, Do you understand what you read? He says, I don't know. So verse 35 says, so Philip opened his mouth and started talking to him about Jesus. In the process of talking to him about Jesus, the evangelist talked to him about the necessity of baptism. Now watch what he does. They then, in the chariot, cruising along, come to a certain water. And the eunuch says, whoa, we stop here. Now, right here is water. What hinders me now? He said, if you believe, you can. Both men went down into the water. The act of baptism was performed, and both men came up out of the water. Why? Because the eunuch was thirsty. I gotta have this. You told me I need to be baptized. Here's water. Let's get with the program. Getting thirsty is the key to salvation.
Number two, getting thirsty is the key to spiritual maturity. Amen. Let me tell you something about spiritual maturity. Trust me on this. You go online. There are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of books about spiritual growth and spiritual development and spiritual maturity. But I want to tell you something. There's not a book in the world that will help you. There's not a workshop in the world that'll help you. There's not a lectureship in the world that'll help you. There's not a conference in the world that will help you until you get thirsty for God and God's word. The rest of it you're fooling yourself with. Getting thirsty is the key to spiritual maturity. Let me show you a verse, and a lot of people misunderstand this verse, and for years and years, I misunderstood this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, Peter says, "And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." The word desire there means an intense craving. Now, for years, I looked at the verse and thought, okay, the Apostle Peter is addressing new Christians, babes in Christ. And what Peter is telling them is that, look, you're a new babe in Christ, so you need to desire the sincere milk of the word. But I'm telling you now, that's not who he's talking to. And there's nothing in the context of it, before it or after it, to suggest that. Here's what Peter is saying. Peter is addressing Christians. And Peter is saying, listen, if you've been a Christian for 5 days, if you've been a Christian for 25 years, if you've been a Christian for 50 years, if you've been a Christian for 100 years, every single Christian needs to crave the word of God like an infant craves that formula. Bless God, I don't know a lot, but babies are hungry. And if they get hungry at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody's getting up and taking care of it. And if they get hungry at 4 in the morning, everybody's getting up and taking care of it. That's that desire. That's that craving. Listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Every single one of us need to crave the word of God so that we can grow just like that infant craves, you got to feed me. Amen. Getting thirsty is the key to salvation. When will a person become a Christian? When they want it. How do I grow as a Christian? Get after it. Number three, getting thirsty is the key to church growth. It's the key to church growth. In Acts, the second chapter, the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ begins. As a result of that, verse 41 of Acts 2 says that that day there were 3,000 souls who were baptized. Verse 41. You say, why you keep saying that? Because I'm making a point. The very next verse, verse 42, is a description of those very first Christians. And in Acts 2 and in verse 42, the first statement made about them is this: they continued steadfastly. What were they? Bless God, they were hungry. They continued steadfastly. That is, they devoted themselves to this thing. There was a family in the church at Corinth that Paul makes reference to in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 15. It was a family. The father, the husband's name was Stephanas. Here's how the Apostle Paul describes them. You know the house of Stephanas in that they addicted themselves to the work of God. Now we know something about addiction. And those of you who are real quiet, you do too. We know about addiction to alcohol. We know about addiction to drugs. And we know about addiction to a thousand other things. And when somebody has an addiction, whatever it is that they're addicted to, they will do anything to anybody to get to feed that addiction. But here was a family that was addicted to the work of God. Listen, this is why the church in Acts 2 went from 3,000 to, in Acts 4, in verse 4, there are 5,000 male members of the church, not counting women and children. And this is the reason they went from 5,000 male members, not counting women and children, to Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, where it says there were multitudes, more and more, added to the Lord. Why did that happen? Because they were thirsty. They were thirsty. When does the church grow? When we get after it. You say, well, how do we know God wants? You think God doesn't want his church to grow? Are you really going to twist this to blame God? Getting thirsty is the key. When will my life change? When will I become a Christian? When will I grow in Christ? When will I reach others? You're going to do it when you get thirsty. That's when you're going to do it, and you're not going to do it a minute before. Observation number one, getting thirsty is the key. Observation number two, why is getting thirsty the key? Why is that the key? Why is this longing and this desire and just this intensity to where you got? Why is that the key? It's the key for two reasons. Number one, because it is a thirsty man who's willing to take a risk. They're willing to take a risk. Here's what I mean by take a risk. They're willing to step out of that comfort zone. We love the comfort zone. I'm safe in the comfort zone. But when you get thirsty, you're going to step out of that comfort zone. In the mid-60s and heading into the late 60s, there was a business student at Yale University named Fred Smith. And he went into a business class in Yale University. And the teacher stood up and said, listen, the term paper for this semester is I want every student here to write down an idea that you have to start a business. What would be the name of the business? What would be the aim of the business? What would be the purpose of the business? And I want detail. Tell me exactly what you want the business to accomplish. So this young man was sitting there, Fred Smith, And he had an idea. His idea was to open up a business that would deliver packages overnight. So that's what he wrote the term paper on. He got the paper back and the grade was a low C. And on that paper in red ink were a number of things that the teacher was dissatisfied with, and she was mostly dissatisfied with the whole idea that you could run a business overnight and deliver packages. But in 1973, Fred Smith risked everything. And he opened up an overnight delivery business called Federal Express. And the first night, Federal Express delivered 6 packages. One of those packages Fred Smith sent. He sent a package across country to a friend of his just to see if it'd get there. Fred Smith has now became part of a multi-billion dollar industry in the overnight delivery packages. Why did it happen? Because one man got thirsty. Listen carefully to where this is going. Brethren, there are people all over the world who are willing to risk everything in order to gain financial gain. But what are we as God's people willing to risk for the kingdom of God? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and talk to somebody about Jesus? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and invite somebody come Bible class with you? Step out of your comfort zone and invite somebody come church with you. Getting thirsty is the key. The reason is because when we get thirsty enough, we're going to step out of the comfort zone and we're going to take a risk. The second reason that getting thirsty is the key is because a thirsty person will not be stopped by the negative reaction of other people. I don't care what you do, somebody's gonna throw water on it. You may get negative reactions at work. Well, here's that Jesus boy again. Here's that Jesus girl again. You may get negative reaction in the community. Your neighbors see you walk down the sidewalk, they all run in the house. You dead sure gonna get some negative reaction from your family. There's a classic example of this. In the 18th chapter of Luke, hear this carefully. In Luke 18, Jesus is heading to the city of Jerusalem to be crucified. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passes through the city of Jericho. This is the last time that Jesus will ever pass through Jericho before his death. So it's late in the ministry. He's about to die. So wherever he is, there's just throngs of people. and people are lined up on both sides of the street, and Jesus is passing through Jericho. And that day there was a blind man at the side of the road. He couldn't see anything, but he could hear, and he knew what was going on. And as Jesus began to pass by, this blind man began to cry out from the side of the road, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me." And the people who were around the man said, "No, hush this up. You can't do that." But he wasn't going to be hushed up. He wasn't going to be stopped by other people telling him, criticizing him. And so it says, all the more, "Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and went to him. And Jesus actually asked him this question: "What do you want that I should do for you?" Don't you love that question? The man is blind. "Lord, I want a Whopper and fries." Jesus asked him, oh, Whopper and fries. But Jesus asked him, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the blind man said to Jesus, "Lord, restore my sight. Restore my sight." And he did. You know why? Because the man was thirsty. Here is Jesus. I know Jesus can bless me with this. And he wasn't about to let the criticism of those standing around him to hush him up. Brethren, the key is to get thirsty, because when we get thirsty enough, we'll step out of our comfort zones for God. And when we get thirsty enough, folks who are making fun of us won't matter to us. So let me say this, because I don't think we know this. I don't think we know this. There is a difference between a decision and a commitment. I'm asking, have you made a decision for Jesus, or have you made a commitment to Jesus? I fear that many years ago, a lot of people made a decision for Jesus, but didn't make a commitment to Jesus. I have said, I believe with everything in me, there are blessings that God has for us, and we're never going to see them because we don't know how to receive from God. The first step and the most fundamental step is you have to get thirsty. You have to want it enough to do whatever God said you have to do to get it. That's the key. Because when you get thirsty enough, you're going to take a risk. And when you get thirsty enough, people can call you anything they want to call you, and you're just going to keep going. So, here is the question of the hour. How thirsty are you? How thirsty are you? Are you thirsty enough right now to do what God said to do to become a Christian? Are you thirsty enough right now to say, I'm going to do what's necessary to grow? That's the question. And you're going to answer that question in a minute. You're going to answer that question. May God give you the grace, may God give you the strength to do what it is that you already know you need to do, and to do it right now as to